WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off day is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin. Maybe.
This. Now you fully hear me. We're here. We're live.
Yeah.
I was talking this entire time. We were talking this entire time, but the button wouldn't move. So anyway, we're live. We're doing a thing at The Rack. We're talking professional wrestling, sports, entertainment. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lens Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live. Because we have a lot to get into tonight, including... Backlash.
That's right. It's been a week full of news and notes, and we have a pay-per-view or PLE to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
That emanated from France.
From France.
From France.
From France.
This past weekend, so we will get into that later in the show, but let's jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. It's youtube.com/MBG1211. And obviously, the biggest news that came out this past week in terms of WWE was the announcement for WrestleMania. This was huge for a lot of reasons, mainly because they dropped the announcement during the Kentucky Derby.
They did.
Which is a pretty big crossover for them, but they... I thought that was really cool. It's like, okay, all right. We go in places now.
I mean, you kind of had to make it a big deal for them because WWE and Peacock have this synergy and they're like, hey, you know, why not NBC do the thing, promote it. You had Becky and Seth there. Seth Rollins shaved his beard. So just starting to grow back in.
I'm wondering if he cut his hair too.
I think it was pinned up. I think it was pinned up under the hat.
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but I would assume, because I don't think he would cut his hair that short at this point.
I mean, he might have shaved the sides, but it's like there was he got cleaned up for the derby.
He did. He cleaned up. He trimmed the entire beard off probably when he had surgery, and it's like, we're starting new.
I'm officially on vacation. This is my vacation look.
Yeah.
Because I fully expect Seth to reinvent himself before he comes back. But yeah, they announced WrestleMania 41 is headed to Las Vegas. And it's going to be Easter weekend, April 19th and 20th. It's not my birthday, thank God.
No, but it's Easter. It's unfortunate that it's Easter, but like...
But that's a late Easter. That's a super late Easter.
Like, and they can't help that. If they wanted to go later in the month and still do it in April, then that's what WWE had to do, is put it then. And because this year Easter was the end of March.
Yeah, it was early.
It was like, so, I don't know. WWE's in a spot where, like, you can't win or you can't lose where you put it. So they decided, hey, we're going to put it here Easter weekend and just deal with it.
The people that want to come will come. The people that don't want to come won't come. There is an incredible irony, though, of WWE putting the show on Easter weekend in the City of Sin. But it's a good choice for Mania. It has lots of entertainment. It has lots of hotels. People will not get bored. The only thing that will make it tricky is for the stuff that kind of pops up around WrestleMania, the indie shows and whatnot, to happen.
It's going to be weird for the indie shows to try to run these casinos and whatnot. There's a few that can run, but it's probably not as going to be as big. And I think that's kind of what WWE's plan is, to kind of circumvent all these other places from trying to steal their weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of stamp some of that out a little bit. But they're running Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. So Mania is going to be on the Strip, y'all. It's going to be on the Strip. And it will be interesting.
It's going to be a fun time.
I expect many, 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 many shenanigans.
Yeah.
And in answering a question mark that was around WWE Raw, as we know, WWE will be moving Raw to Netflix at the end of this year. But the question mark was, what happens to Raw in the meantime, right? Because the contract ends and they don't move till January of 2025. So it's, what happens to Raw? Where does it go? Do they stay on USA? Do they go to Netflix early? Like, what happens? Well, that question got answered today. Or not today, but this week.
It was today.
Okay. It's been a long day, y'all. WWE Raw will remain on USA till the end of the year. It's a $25 million deal for the show to stay on for the additional
3 months. Yeah. October, November, and December. They put out press release stating, starting in September, that the flagship shows of WWE will be on USA Network, and there'll be a WWE week with a couple, a Rock movie, a Cena movie, and the Bray Wyatt documentary on USA that week.
That's pretty good.
So that'd be cool for them. So we hold WWE week, and yeah. But anyway, that answers the question. So is it a lot of money that they're getting for it? No.
But it's money.
It's extra money they did not have, and they needed a spot to do it. And USA Network's not going to pay a high price for it, because $25 million is a decent price. Just to extend the 3 months, and just sort of, they're still going to be partners going forward with SmackDown moving to USA in September.
Yeah, so good for them, good on them. So nothing changes until next year. Yay!
Well, end of this year.
End of this year. Beginning of next year. Yeah. It's kind of interesting how the higher ups in WWE are changing. We had two departures from the company in WWE CEO, Brad Bloom. He has resigned from the company. And then Trent Wolfinger. I bet he had a fun time in school. The senior VP of Athlete ID and Development has also left the company.
Yeah. Brad Bloom was corporate officer number two.
Probably.
No, he was. That's what he was. He was corporate officer number two in the lawsuit. Doesn't mean he had any involvement, any knowledge, whatever. He's the one who hired her, so... But one has nothing to do with the other. He stayed on, transitioned the company, and now he's gone.
Yeah. This is typical for a merger, is you sign the executives to a certain retention policy, and then they serve out their term, and they either stay or they either go. Nick Khan has one as well, and I think they extended his till next year just to keep him around. So yeah, Nick Khan, in theory, will be around.
Nick Han's not going anywhere. The stock stuff apparently wasn't as real as people thought it was, even though it's listed in some agreement thing. He's not going anywhere. He has a job to do. He's firmly implanted in the WWE for years to come.
There you go. And with those departures, we also have some releases for NXT. Boa, Vlad Pavlenko, Kaya Saint, Julian Baldy, Emma Diaz, Daryl Mason, Keyshawn LaFleur, and Ezekiel Bagalone, I hope I said that right, have all left the company. They were let go this past week. In addition, Gable Stevenson was let go.
That was an interesting one that WWE did, was let him go, I think, right before he missed the Olympic trials or something.
It was right after.
So he missed it just by a little bit. So people were like, oh, did WWE really have to do it that way? And sometimes just timing is you know, what it is. But he's an interesting case. They had a lot of high hopes for him.
It just didn't work out.
I don't think he ever grew into the potential they thought he would. Because they gave him like these big debuts at WrestleMania, and he was drafted to Raw at one point, and he just never showed up. So
I think it was like, yeah, he's taking a break to go back and go to school or something like that, or finish out something. And then like, yeah, it was very weird how, and not bad weird, just weird how they worked with him. And so
like they tried, like Baron Corbin had a match with him, but it didn't go well. He did some dark matches that just didn't.
Yeah, it just didn't translate. And he just couldn't pick it up. And that's okay. You know, some people, they just can't. And that's fine. That isn't to say that he can't work on it if he wants to continue in professional wrestling, or if he wants to go on into amateur or do whatever he wants to do. He can always come back.
Sometimes you're an athlete and WWE signs you and it works out. Sometimes it just doesn't. He was just a very high profile athlete who they signed and went, well, let's see what we can do. We're going to push him to the moon and like give him this big grand, like, hey, look at me. This is me, Gable Stevenson. And it just, he never lived up to their hype and the presentation they wanted to give him. They basically wanted him to be an ex-Kurt Angle in some way. They had hopes in that direction.
Yeah.
But it just
materialized.
Never worked. And sometimes that happens. But we'll see what happens next for him down the line, whether he goes. Because I heard the NFL wanted to look at him, I guess. Maybe he'll stick with amateur wrestling, go into the Olympics in a couple of years if he's still eligible. We'll see.
We will, in fact, see. And this is another interesting story that came out this past week. Drew Gulak has departed from WWE. He was not let go. His contract supposedly expired and he is no longer with the company.
This led to French cheeses being delivered to media members.
Yeah, because Hunter told people to check their sources or get better sources, and he insulted some high up people. So they got apology cheese for it. It's good apology cheese, I might add, all the way from France. But this is a strange story. This is the conclusion to a well-timed conclusion, I might add, to sort of what's been going on with Drew Gulak. Because as we know, a couple of weeks ago, Ronda Rousey came out and she made an accusation against him regarding him touching her drawstring on her pants and him kind of harassing her, I think. And then WWE immediately pulled him because they're like, oh no, after all the allegations, like pretty much every allegation of like sexual harassment or sexual misconduct is probably going to be taken very, very, very seriously. So because it's an optics thing. And so Drew got pulled and then he was just gone. And then they said on NXT TV that he was like sleeping with the fishes and that the family had like knocked him off or whatever. And he was let go. And people began making statements about how like he was a bully and how he would like target people with injuries and how he was kind of a dick and like all these things. Mm-hmm. And nobody in NXT seemed to really like him.
Apparently not.
And I think he had even been warned by Shawn Michaels like a couple times.
Yeah, he was.
So yeah, this is so Drew is gone from the company and is not likely to be back for a while.
No, I don't think so. But
no,
it is what it is.
It's just don't be a douche. It's really not that hard. Like just don't be.
Just don't be. But sometimes people are, so here we are.
Here we are. Also not with the company anymore, but still under a Legends deal. Jerry Lawler's broadcast deal with WWE has expired. And like I said, he's still under a Legends agreement, but they will no longer be using him for commentary, which is probably for the best.
He's not doing the pre-shows. He's not going to do anything like that. It just, at this point, with his health problems, they don't need him any longer, and they're going to still pay him as Legends deal goes on. But they, you know, it was bound to happen as broadcast deal would expire.
Yeah, it's not fair to ask him to travel with all his health problems, and so we're still going to take care of you. We're still going to keep you under the Legends contract, but we can't re-sign you to a broadcast deal if, you know, obviously you're not going to.
We're not going to use you. Yeah,
you know, we're not going to use you. So, you know, it's fair for everybody. And to everybody saying that Jerry needs to go to AEW, please sit down. One, he can't because he's under a Legends deal. And two, I don't know if his health would abide for that. So
they
please.
Don't need him. They have 1,700 announcers at this point. They don't need any more. Stop. You don't want Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross calling AEW. Please.
But puppies.
But just stop.
HLA.
Just stop.
There's HLA Rock.
No, that's a bad topic for puppy talk is not a good topic for AEW today. So anyway.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You'll have to tell me after the show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And in the final shakeups for WWE, Mike Rome is headed to NXT, Alicia Taylor is headed to SmackDown, and then Samantha Irvin will stay where she is on Raw. So they're moving some stuff around, you know, in terms of people and announcers and things like that, and changing things up, and yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's about time. This will allow Mike Rome to just be in Florida and Lisa Taylor can go on a road, get some experience.
So good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the AEW of the W's. Ethan Page is no longer with AEW. His contract, I think expired.
Something like that, or it would be expiring. He wanted out. They weren't using him to his potential, apparently, and he's no longer with the company. Which, you know, happens.
Fair.
He got put in some roles where you looked like he was going to be featured, then angles just fizzled and faded away and didn't have really much of a conclusion. They worked some ROH, it just didn't work out there. And you kind of let him go and let him do his own thing and see where he ends up. He could come back. Again, with them, it doesn't mean anything. It's just sort of like, hey, you're done for now.
So he can always come back. And for you Fight Forever fans, Season 4 is here. This season features Samoa Joe, Adam Copeland, and Jay White. They also have two all-new arenas, 30 new moves, and over 50 custom attires, 10 music tracks, a Stadium Stampede expansion, and an all-new tournament mode. And how much does it cost?
$20.
I mean, for $20, that's not bad.
Yeah, but I feel like they just charged people $20 like 6 weeks ago. So where we just reported on Season 3 not too long ago. But who knows? The fact that they get Samoa Joe and Adam Copeland mainly, because he just arrived, Jay White just arrived, when others should be in it before them, kind of is interesting. But yeah, and there's a bunch of creations in there too, like YouTubers. The WWE 2K YouTubers are apparently in the AEW game, so you go figure that one. Called Please Player Content. We put you in our game. You can't put yourself in the game because we don't actually have community creations. So we have this fake community creations that, you know, we'll make them for you and then put you in. That type of thing. So that's where we are. And we'll see what happens. What's next for the game? Because I don't know how many people are playing the game. But they keep trying to do something with it.
Look, they have a lot, and I do mean a lot of money in that game. So they have to make every effort they can to make that thing a success, no matter what. So good on them for trying. But yeah, I don't know how many people are playing the game. I hope if they are, they're enjoying it, and I hope this brings more people to the game.
Indeed, we'll see if it does. Speaking of downloadable content, the first WWE pack, the CM Punk ECW pack, is available next week.
Hey.
So probably another $20 for that content too, but at least you're getting stuff, I guess. I don't know. But if you buy the season,
gotcha.
Well, they have a season pass, so you get it all under their one season pass. But if you buy it separate, if you buy it separately, it's like $10, $12, $10, $20, something like that.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. With that, we're going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking WWE Backlash. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You're on Twitch and you have a Prime Gaming sub available. You can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow the channel, subscribe the regular way, hang on chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we're doing Backlash.
Backlash. Live from France. It was live from France.
Oui, oui. Lyon, France. Not Paris. Lyon. This show, this crowd.
Yeah.
These people showed up for this show, both on SmackDown and on Backlash. Like, they were excited to have WWE there.
They were loud. I don't think they stopped singing for pretty much the entire 3 to 4 hours that Backlash was on.
They started an hour before and they probably continued as they left the arena.
Probably, yeah. Like, they just were singing, they were chanting, they were having a good time. They were loud, like I said. Like, they got noise warnings for the crowd, I think both nights, just because of how loud they were. Like, hats off. Just hats off to the crowd and Leon. Like, yeah. That makes watching these shows really, 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 and I mean really fun. Because when the crowd's into it, you get into it. So U.S. audiences, take note. Get loud.
Yeah. Get loud. Start coming up with your own songs that can be heard that can actually be heard on television, not, you know, curse words or anything. Properly appropriate for television song is the best way to put it. Anyway, apparently we lost our chat. apparently we've lost our co-host for the moment. So hopefully she'll be back here. We're going to talk WWE Backlash, since where I'm actually pulling up the card. But no, they were chanting all night. They were chanting for Bayley. God, they love themselves some Bayley, don't they, chat? It's one of those things where the crowd just, they love her. And that's good. Hey, look, you're back.
Where did I leave off?
I don't remember exactly where you left off, but we were talking about the crowds. We're talking about how they love Bayley. We talked about how they were singing throughout the night and G-rated chick songs in the U.S.
Yes, G-rated songs. Okay, that's where I left off. All right, cool. Yeah, I just was sitting here and it's like you started to talk and then you died. And then like I heard the brum. I'm like, oh no, what died? It was Discord.
It was Discord, yeah. So anyway, let's
talk about the show. Let's talk about how the show opened with the new Bloodline taking on RKO. I loved how they did this. I loved how they changed this from just a regular match to a tag team street fight, where it's like, you know what, y'all want to kill each other? Go ahead. Yeah, y'all just go on. You just go ahead and kill each other. Like, just do it. I don't care. We're in France. I don't give a shit. Which was a really good way to do it.
Yeah. It was a fantastic way to open the show.
Like, Nick Aldis is like, whatever. I don't care. Just do it. poor Paul Heyman's like, oh God. Oh God. Yeah. I said this in the chat on Sunday, that the feeling that I get about the Bloodline's current state is that all the adults have fucked off and Paul has been left with the unruly kids.
He has, yeah.
He's just trying to deal with it.
He's trying to figure it out, and it's not working for him.
No, it's not working for him at all. Like, he doesn't have the same control like what he did over Roman. And so you have Solo and Tonga just running roughshod over people. And to be fair, this match was actually a lot more competitive than I thought it was going to be. I kind of thought they were going to have like Tama Tonga and Solo just steamroll over RKO, but oh no. No, 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 no. These four tried to kill each other, like legit tried. There were tables, there were chairs, there was a kendo sticks, there was a brother that showed up who kind of missed a spot, but he showed up. We had Tongaloa. He rounds out the third.
He did, yeah.
As it were. He appeared from under the ring. He's supposed to grab the ref and pull the ref out of the ring, but apparently he missed the spot.
He missed it by half a second. He got stuck under the ring or something. It was fine.
Yeah, but there was probably like debris or something and he couldn't get out. But yeah, this was a fantastic match. Great way to open. The crowd was super into this. Everybody was. And yeah, this was amazing. I loved
it. It was a hot way to start the show. The crowd was very much into it. You watched Kevin Owens soak up the crowd as he walked out. His song went a couple times. Then Randy came out. His song went a couple times through. Like, they ate it up. And that's what you wanted to say.
They sang to Randy. He didn't know what to do with it. He was so confused. Like, Randy's song ended and they kept going.
Yeah. And then they're just sung without the music. Which,
they just sung, great. And Randy's like, okay, all right, cool, we could do this, I guess. Like, this was just so good. Like, this was very, very entertaining. They did a great job with this. I love this. And in no real surprise to anyone, the Bloodline won.
Yeah,
which absolutely should win.
That was the right outcome. That's the way it should have been for the show. The Bloodline is the faction you're making, and now with Tangaloa coming into the company as the third. Yeah, you got to make them look strong. The new Bloodline.
Because again, we don't know when we're going to see Roman again, and we don't know when we're going to see the final boss again. So you need to make them extra super strong. So when those two return, maybe they don't fit in anymore. Maybe things are going to change, and Roman might find himself exiled from the island of relevancy.
They mentioned on SmackDown, Paul let it slip out of his mouth that he hasn't talked to Roman since WrestleMania. And he's the one who pulled him from the draft. Roman didn't pull himself, so there are some issues there. For whenever the tribal chief returns.
Or is the tribal chief already there? Has the heir apparent claimed his throne? Mm-hmm. We don't know. But yeah, this was good. This is really good. There's a lot of wonderful things that happened in this. We also saw a confrontation with Jey Uso backstage.
Yeah, a little bit later we saw them run into him. Paul Heyman had those eyes of like, sorry, I'm captured, maybe? Please help?
Paul, blink twice if you're being held hostage.
For the love of God, help me. I'm trapped. I don't know what I'm doing. Jey, take me back. Save me.
They need better adult supervision.
Pretty much. That's kind of what was going on there, yeah.
I've been coerced. Mm-hmm. But following this up was a really great women's three-way for the WWE Women's Championship, where we had Bayley defending, and oh, they love them some Bayley. And she went up against Naomi, who the crowd loved, and Tiffany Stratton, who the crowd was kind of mixed on. They were loud for her, but she didn't get the heel.
Oh, we lost her again. She didn't get as much of a heel. She got some heel reaction. She got some babyface reaction. But they were totally into... They loved some Tiffy time, but Bayley was their girl.
My back?
You're back now. Bayley was their girl, for sure. Tiffany was pretty over, but Bayley was their girl.
Yeah, they were singing to Bayley. They were cheering for Bayley. They wanted Bayley to win. But yeah, this was really good. These three women worked really well together. Tiffany looked like $1 million in this. Naomi looked like $1 million in this. Bayley did as well, but you know, in terms of a three-way, it's like you always kind of have to have a loser, but everybody was really balanced in this match. You never had like somebody just get really, really beat down and then get taken out of the match, because that's usually what they kind of do with the new person if they're not going to win. So in this case, they did not do that, and it was a very competitive match.
Yeah,
you always enjoy.
This was one of my favorite matches on the show. Like, legitimately, it was my favorite match on the show. Like, the Street Fight was good. I thought as a general wrestling match, this was better. Like, an overall, really good match.
Yeah. And we had Stratton attempt a double prettiest moonsault, but she was caught by the Wendy with Naomi and Bayley, and then Naomi attempted the La Magistral, but Bayley reversed it into a pin, and that's how she won. It was a really kind of quick finish, sort of unexpected finish.
Which is good for the whole friendly thing they were going with between Bayley and Naomi, where it's like they're friends, so they're not going to, like, you don't hit your finishing move on them, and they would be sour. It's like, you bested me by getting the small package inside cradle, whatever you want to call it, on her, and for the win. So Bayley is still the WWE Women's Champion.
And there was a friendly handshake afterwards, you know, between Bayley and Naomi, and Tiffany was sent packing.
She was, in fact, sent packing. So, yeah, this was a really good match. Tiffany's going to be a star, and Bayley's already there. Naomi's already established, but we're seeing the rise of Tiffy time as we're moving forward. She will one day eventually become a WWE Women's Champion for the company. So that's good to see. But
they didn't hurt her in this match at all.
No, she didn't.
Having
take
her
the
lose here didn't hurt.
No, because she didn't take the fall, and she can continue to hold that up, going, hey, you didn't beat me, you beat Naomi. So you're still the Bayley Tiffany one-on-one whenever you want to go for it, which you can either, I don't know if was Tiffany put in the Queen of the Ring? I don't remember.
If she's not in it now, she probably will be.
No, because they put out the bracket for it. That's the men's. Where's the, did they not win? Maybe they didn't do the women's yet?
I don't think they've done it for SmackDown.
They've done two of the four for SmackDown. She's not listed yet. So We'll see what. Yeah, maybe. Because right now it's. Oh, that's interesting. Bianca, Candace on one side and Jade and Piper on the other. For the SmackDown side. So, yeah. And Naomi and Nia, and there's still one TBA to go. So we'll see who they put in there. Maybe they'll hold off and not put Tiffany in there. But we'll find out probably tomorrow on SmackDown, as they've had to make some changes due to injuries and such. So we'll see what happens next with the tournament and such. But yeah, this was a good match for the show overall. That was my favorite match. So good on them.
Very good on them. Defending his brand new World Heavyweight Championship, we have Damian Priest taking on Jey Uso. This was a good little match. There were some shenanigans in it with Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, which Damian was not too happy about after the show.
No, he wasn't.
Or after the match.
He wasn't happy with it, but as we saw on television, he came around.
He did come around. He was okay with it when they got back to the States.
But in that moment, he kind of had a bit of a mad. But no, this was all right. They're building Damian again. As trying to make him a strong champion, they're slowly trying to break him out of the heel mentality, which is where Judgment Day has been. But with Jey, so they're like, Jey's the babyface, but it feels like Damian's eventually going to become one. So it's kind of the mixed bag. He wants to do things honorably, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, there's kind of a beginning to have a shift in Judgment Day. We're beginning to see really kind of the beginning of the end for them, I feel like, where they're not going to split them right away, but you're seeing where they're pointing people. Like, Damian's going to go off on his own. They're sort of pointing Dominic in a different direction. JD and Finn, they're kind of pointing them in a different direction. You're teasing tension between Finn and Damian a little bit. So I think eventually we're going to see the Judgment Day fracture and splinter, and everybody's going to go off in their own ways. And that will be the point where they turn Damian into a babyface. And you have people chase. Because a heel champion, it's like, yeah, he can only be like, haha, I'm the cocky heel champion for so long. And thinking of Raw, you don't have a lot of, I think, babyfaces built that are ready to go. So with Gunther looming, with Drew McIntyre looming, with some other people looming, Damian maybe needs to go the face route just for balance, and we'll probably get there with it.
I think when they break away, Damian will be the babyface, and Finn and Drew and Dominic will stay heels.
Yeah.
Because they kind of work better that way.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't turn Dominic babyface.
No, Dom won't be a babyface, no. He's living for the moment.
In 4K, baby, mommy is not going to be happy. But yeah, this was okay. I think Jey sort of made up a little bit, or he had something to prove after WrestleMania. So this was a good match. They mixed well together. The Fireflies came out for Jey. The crowd was loud for both of them, or at least for Jey. I don't think there was as loud for Damian. But yeah, this overall was good. And then the kind of tease afterwards with Priest and McDonagh, that was nice. Because, like, they were going to go for Jey, and Damian pulled them off of Jey, and they're like, no, we're not doing that. No, just stop. He got the spritz bottle. So, and he spritzed them. So, that was good.
It was. All right, what's next?
I'm just making sure Discord's not going to die again. Because it's died twice now, with no warning. So, this was probably the weakest offering on the card. This is Bianca and Jade versus the Kabuki Warriors. And it's not to say that it was weak because it was bad. This match just had some problems in it. And I think there were a lot of extenuating circumstances as to why there were problems. We have to remember that Asuka's working hurt. And that, you know, that could have played a factor. The crowd was very loud. They may not have been able to hear each other. That could be a factor. We don't really know what happened, but there was a point where people got lost in this match. And yeah, they kind of had a hard time pulling it back a little bit. They got it back together and they were able to bring it to a nice close. But like the middle part of this match, people were just kind of lost and they didn't really know what to do.
It's inexperience on Jade's part. The referee could have helped out a little bit better by counting a pinfall at some point that would have just sort of kept the gears in motion. I know they would have been the illegal person and they're not supposed to, but it kind of threw things off a little bit at that point as well. Everything just sort of like fell apart. It happens. It's everything's not supposed to be perfect in wrestling.
No.
And the girls figured out a way to hey, we're not going to redo the same spot. We'll work our way back to where we need to be. And I mentioned this on Sunday, where they had, if this was another point in time, they wouldn't have had the opportunity to. Especially if they had more than five matches on this show. Because they got they ended up with 17 minutes for this match.
Which is a lot longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, and which means they had time to work and time to breathe. And they didn't have to rush to the finish because there was no stopping time for the show. They had plenty of time to go since they were on fourth. And they had just let it go, let it out, work through the kinks, and get to the finish. And that's what they did. And we crowned new women's tag team champions in Bianca and Jade. It's the right people to hold them. Asuka and Kairi held it for a while. With Asuka being hurt, you had to kind of change it up.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Here's my thing. And I think we said this during the preview. It makes absolute sense to put the titles on Jade and Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute sense. You know, the Kabuki Warriors have had a great run, but their time is over. Asuka is working hurt. She needs to go rest. She needs to go recover. This is the opportune time to make that change and switch everything over. Because what you can do is you can have Bianca and Jade run roughshod for a while over both brands. You can build Jade slowly. You can get Jade a lot of experience very, very, very quickly by having her go back and forth between both brands. She will get to work a lot of different women with a lot of different styles as a result. Because while Jade has improved, Jade is still green. You can tell. She's still kind of learning. She's still kind of figuring stuff out. And that's not against her at all. They've kind of, based on what you hear about her, they sort of had to do a ground up scenario with her when they brought her in. So they're still trying to get her to where they need her to be and where they want her to be. And this will definitely help.
Yeah.
Because you can only learn so much in the performance center. Where you get your true experience is wrestling matches. This will help. Having her be on house shows, having her be on the road, having her be on TV, at PLEs, you name it. It will help her integrate better into the product and help her learn. And then you will have to have less scenarios like this. Because the other side of this match is that they are covering for the fact that Jade is not as experienced as the other three women in this match. So it's really kind of like a one-on-two.
Mm-hmm.
With Jade there, like she got in and she hit her spots and she looked good at points. But ultimately it was Bianca, Asuka, and Kairi really kind of covering this match and really sort of carrying this match, which is perfectly acceptable because Jade is still learning. But at some point that will no longer be acceptable and she's going to have to be able to carry her own weight.
Yeah.
And so stuff like this can happen. It's fine. But like, just let's hope it's not a regular thing. But in terms of putting the titles on Jade and Bianca, I think it's absolutely the right call.
Oh, 100%.
They look dominant. They look badass. They have everything going for them in terms of the look of the thing. If they can get the ring stuff going, it's going to be really special.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this wasn't bad. It just was kind of weird.
It was an enjoyable match that had a couple bad minutes and they figured it out. And if they didn't, then there would have been a problem, but they were able to figure it out.
By the way, as of winning the tag belts, this made Bianca the 9th women's Triple Crown champion. So congratulations to her.
Big accomplishment.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And in your main event, you have Cody Rhodes defending the former UWU undisputed WWE.
Not UWU, no more. UWU's dead.
UWU's not dead. It lives on in our hearts.
UWU, no, it doesn't. UWU's dead.
It lives on in our hearts.
No. UWU dead.
The undisputed WWE championship against AJ Styles. He won the Eliminator tournament to get here. And there was a really nice touch in this match because they brought up the fact that AJ faced Dusty a long time ago for the NWA title, and AJ had gear that resembled the gear, obviously not the booty shorts because AJ doesn't do the booty shorts anymore. He had gear made that resembled the same gear that he wrestled Dusty in to wrestle Cody.
Black and purple color scheme that he used back then. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was a really nice touch, a really nice nod. The crowd was just beyond amped for this match. They were singing the entire, and I do mean the entire time.
They were.
They didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think once. They were just going. Because it was Cody's theme, and I think it was a couple other things. I forget what else they were singing. Because I couldn't really understand them, but like they were just going the entire time, having a good time, having a blast.
Yeah, every time AJ did something phenomenal, they were doing singing some song that they had to mention on TV.
Yeah. Also, just as a note for this match, Jessica Carr became the first female referee in a WWE World Championship main event. So, congratulations to her. A lot of history being made on this show and on this night. But what can you say about this? This is Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. Of course this was good.
It was a really good match.
Really good.
They had plenty of time. They told their story. AJ came close. But it was the Cody Rhodes match. This is the first of many successful title defenses Cody's going to have on his run as the WWE champion. This is what you're going to expect. You're going to see a really high-quality wrestling match in your main events. The babyface is going to win for a while, and that's just where it is. AJ was the right opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Cody came up a little banged up out of it, but he was the right guy in the right situation. And you find a bunch of more people just like AJ, run him through Cody, let him go through him for a while, and see where it gets you. Cody should lose the belt at some point, get it back. But this was the right way to do it. Let him fight the good fight as the top guy for the brand. And it's what he wants. It's now time for him to deliver, to show out. Every single time he's in a ring in a main event match, it has to deliver. Because he's the WWE champion. Right, and that's reestablishing the finishers. You only need one. You kind of overbook it sometimes. Especially in a Roman match. Where you or a Brock match at times where you had do multiple finishers, but one crossroads is the right move at times.
I like the idea of at least for a little while, kind of having Cody coast and just kind of having him enjoy the moment and not necessarily give him a huge challenge. And the reason I say that is because we just went through the 2-year story of hard times and Cody, basically trying to finish the story. And so having Cody coast after he achieves his goal, having him kind of rest on his laurels a little bit, having him enjoy the moment, it's just a really kind of satisfying conclusion to that story because it's not adversity right away. And what it does is it kind of puts Cody in a confident spot. He can just sort of sit there and he's like, yeah, I'm the world champion. Nobody can mess with me. And then you sort of blindside him with that challenge and you make him wake up and it's okay. Now we got to fight. And AJ will be a good opponent for that because this was the first in the series for them and it will gradually build. Like I think you had AJ cut a really good promo on Cody. After the fact, but like it's just kind of like just have Cody coast for a while and then start to bring on his challengers, like his really serious challengers, until you have that moment where he gets beat. And maybe that's how he loses the title, is he wasn't paying attention and he gets blindsided and somebody takes it from him and he's like, oh shit, now I gotta get it back. And then we have the next part of the quote-unquote story, although please don't call it story. I don't want to hear finish the story.
Oh, we're going to always finish the story, new chapters all the time?
I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of finish the story. But yeah, no, this was fine. This was good. This was a really, 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 really serviceable main event. I mean, like, overall, this was a great show. Was it a stellar show? I would say not, but the crowd made this just an absolute delight to watch. It was fun. It was entertaining. It moved. Didn't really drag, which is what you want. So it's the right mix of like everything. You had surprises, but overall, like the finishes were very predictable, which predictable isn't bad.
No, predictable wasn't bad. It's sometimes you need it. It was a very entertaining show from top to bottom. WWE should be very proud of what they did with this show. And we'll see what do we do for King and Queen of the Ring. We'll probably get 6 or 7 matches probably on that show, I assume, because they're going to Saudi Arabia. They kind of added an extra match or two on that show, especially with the King and Queen of the Ring finals. We'll probably have 5-6 matches, maybe, because we're going to get a WWE title match, probably world title match, 2 finals, Becky Liv, and Sami's Intercontinental. So that's probably you're going to be King and Queen of the Ring. Should be fun. That happens 2 weeks from 2 weeks from Saturday. Great. Oh, my birthday's in 2 weeks. Okay. Anyway. Great.
Wait, is it on your birthday?
No, it's 2 days after. I just looked. I was like, oh, it's 2 weeks away. Anyway, that's a story for another day.
Your birthday and my birthday are always on the same day. So like.
Yeah, it's in 2 weeks, yeah.
Y'all, we get to preview the show and celebrate Rock's birthday.
So looking forward to it. And play Fortnite and all the things that happened that weekend.
We're playing Fortnite that weekend?
It's a new season. I'm playing Fortnite that weekend.
Can we play Fortnite together?
We're probably going to play Fortnite at some point. Probably stream it.
Sweet!
But that's our show.
That is our show. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Programming note, chat. There's no stream tomorrow.
Somebody's, you know, taking the night off.
Is he, though? Is he really taking the night off? Or is he working?
I mean, he's working, but he's not GMing.
Yeah. Somebody decided they're going to get called into work. So he ain't going to be around. So we can't do GM battles tomorrow night. It sucks. So, well, that will return next week. Saturday night, though, it's WTR Game Night featuring Uno, followed by CB Red Live. 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday, it's the Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. It's The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com, says Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gamer. Support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use Kirk or Rockstock or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite Am Shop, we're at the Game Store when you buy all your Star Wars and stuff. And Billie Eilish. Because it's all in there. Because we are. Hashtag
Epic.
Go ahead.
Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@LynnsWard. And while it's still in the United States, you can follow me on TikTok, LynnsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel. That's MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. And you can like and subscribe and follow his stuff and tell him we said hi, because he's an amazing person. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye!